We got to work on not crying while we're singing. That's what we got to work on. I tell you, there are some songs that just, I tell you, just. I let the people know on a Wednesday night, for those of you, in the previous, last night, Brother Lou was talking about the relationship he had, not only with the church here at Mount Calvary, but also with the previous pastor here. His name was Ed Campbell. His wife's name was Evelyn. I don't know of an individual that I have enjoyed more in my life. Ed and Evelyn were like parents to me, and Evelyn was just such a wonderful lady. Miss Geisler said, told you a little bit earlier when she walked in one day, and Evelyn, many times in her life, would walk in, she had all kind of pains and aches, and she would march into Sunday morning, and with one little phrase, I said, "How are you doing this morning, Evelyn?" She said, "I am happy in the Lord." She'd always say that. Off to the ladies' class she'd go, and they nicknamed the ladies' class God's Girls. And after Evelyn passed away, and a sudden, that fall, I traveled down to the convention, and here we had so many folks. We had, in a couple years we'd go, and kind of as we went, it grew and grew in numbers like that. So one year down there, we had a bunch of people. We just had a bunch, 15, 16, 17. Lisa was coming down. I don't know how many, 18 might have been down there doing, and I was running around and trying to keep track of everybody. And I tell you, when you have the Nancys and the Rubies and the Janets, and when you have people that will call you from the parking lot in their car, when you have people that are in the parking lot outside in their car calling you for directions, it's a true story. You have your hands full. And remember that one, don't you, Janet? Yeah. Yes, remember. And so much went on. And then it was kind of late that evening that everybody kind of gone in the way. And at the Quartet Convention, they start singing about 6, and they'll sometimes sing till midnight or after. And they don't really look at the clock that much later in the evening. And Triumphant Quartet, who will be here in November on a Thursday night, and those guys at the end, I went up, and when all the hoopla done and we got everybody's directions out of the parking lot and got those things taken care of, I just sit over there right next to where Ed and Evelyn used to sit. Where old Bob would be, he would be an errand boy running for ice cream cones. "Bobby, go get me an ice cream cone." And off he'd go back. The year after Ed had died, took Evelyn to Louisville for a one-day trip. We drove out of here on early on a Monday morning, left and rolled in there Monday night, heard the concert on Monday night at the Quartet. She got up in the morning, Tuesday morning, drove back to Louisville, Kentucky. Evelyn was such in state she couldn't move around, so she sat in the chair coming down, and I would go, and since she couldn't get up and see these fellows, I would go get them. I would go over to the convention area where the booths are, and I would get them and bring them back. I said, "Brother, Evelyn Campbell's sitting over there, and she'd like to see you." And I went over to Eric Bennett of Triumphant, walked in. Eric ran up there and gave her a big hug. Back when I went and got Clayton Inman, went and got Jeff Stice, I went and got, there's a Tony Pence, one of the great, great singers, went and got him. He came over, big hug over there. One after another, I brought these guys who are simply just tremendous, well-known singers. And I got tickled because finally the people sitting around Evelyn finally go, "Who is that lady? Who is that lady that all these guys are coming up and giving her such a, who is she? Who is she?" I just said, "Can't tell you, ma'am. Can't tell you who she is." So that night, after all our folks had gone and Triumph was up on the main stage there, they were finishing up the evening and they started singing that song. He loves it. And it just seems like it. Sometimes you have all the emotions of life just flow through you. And God, in his wisdom, God, in his wisdom, allows you in this thing Christianity, in this thing about him sending his son to die upon a cross, in his wisdom, he allows you to feel it. He allows you to feel it. Sometimes I want to feel something. I want to feel something, the good thing that God has done for us in our lives. So when Matt plays that song, that brings back just a flood of emotions and memories and things. And I just thank God that he gives us wonderful, wonderful memories of those in our lives. And I know many folks out there on the sound of my voice that have had parents that have gone on. But I tell you one thing, there'll be a day, there will be a reunion day when all those emotions will just come back. And God gives us just wonderful, pleasant things within our hearts and within our minds. Times that he has seen us through and people that he has placed within our lives. I believe that. I believe that God places people within our lives at the perfect time, just what we need, just what I have needed in my life. So all that is, we got to learn how to cry and sing at the same time. I was messing up some notes there because it's hard to do. Sermon. The time is, hope it's 15 till. That clock is probably 2 minutes slow. We'll try to speak for 15 minutes here and let you get out there and start praying for the defense of the Redskins can do a little better. I know it's of great concern to some of you. The fifth chapter in the book of 2 Corinthians. The assurance of the resurrection. The assurance that I know, that I know, that I know that my God is real. He overcame death, an empty tomb. Why? Because Jesus died and rose again. I am the truth. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How many times have you heard that read in a funeral? Amen. What a joy it fills within our hearts. This old tent is destroyed. Some of our tents aren't standing up as strong as they should be. Some of our old tents got a few tears in them, got a few holes in them. Don't worry. Don't be disheartened. God has prepared for us a place. As you read down in the next few verses, I'll skip down all the way to the sixth verse. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim. You need a game plan? That's what the writers talk about. You need direction? You need a path? That's what the writer talks about here. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Heavenly Father, add a blessing to the reading of your word today. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. That is our aim. That is our goal. How do we get there? How do I, when it says here, how do I walk by faith and not by sight? Last week we talked about seeing something that was invisible. And I like it when these writers, they just come and they get on something and they just kind of hit you over and over again, over and over again. Boom. Because I'm one of those type of people. You got to tell me, you got to tell me, you got to tell me, you got to tell me. Then it starts to sink in. And I guess these writers realized that people like me who needed to hear it and hear it and hear it. When we practice, we go over and over and over. And yeah, these guys are looking at me with disdain, but we do it over and over again. Hopefully, we'll get most of it right. You need things in your life that are consistent. You need things, you need direction that is the same over and over and over again. How within my walk, within my desire to make my aim to please Him, how do I walk by faith and not by sight? Three things. Give you the points right off the beginning here so you'll know it. I believe that we need to begin to love the way that God loves. I think that we need to love people the way that God loves people. That means forgive them, and that means accepting forgiveness. And third, I believe we need to start to work the way that God works. You got to love the way that God loves. You have to love without looking at the individual on the outside. So many times, people I meet, and it's amazing to me, first impressions, what you have. And then, as God allows you to get to know that individual, you realize, wow, I never knew the depth of character of this individual. So many times, I find myself being shallow in my thinking. So many times I think and look and size people up. God doesn't do it like that. God sees within you the potential for what you have to serve Him. He doesn't look at us and say, wow, this one or that one or this one and that. No, we're all doing that. We look at the way that we have these little earthly arraignments and the way we have certain talents that have been given. No, God looks at the heart. God knows that within each and every one of us that He has placed His Spirit, the potential to do great and mighty things for Him in His name. In His name. We're a small church. Amen. Amen. Because it gives us a chance to get to know one another. In the big church, some of y'all could hide. You could. I won't tell you that. Now, I'm not telling you to leave. No. I'm not telling you to leave, but I'm just telling you, you could hide. Sneak in. Never know. Around Mount Calvary, it's going to be tough on you. Because people are going to say, how are you? How are you doing? We are happy to see you. That's what they're going to say. And they're going to mean it. They're going to mean it. You have to love the way that God loves. You have to love people the way that God loves people. What does God do? He forgives. He takes the things that we have done. It says He goes out and in the deepest of the seas, in the deepest, and He drops them off. And the writer once said, he puts up a sign that says, no fishing here. He separates the things that you have done once you confess them to Him as far as the east is from the west. And He forgets them. We don't. You know the way we forgive. Oh, I forgive, but I'm still remembering. Come on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And it is so hard for us to accept the forgiveness that God has given us. If there is one thing that I can impart to people, one thing that I hear over and over again, if there is one thing that will rob you of your joy in the Lord, is that people are simply beating themselves up over what they have done in their lives. I said, well, have you asked God to forgive you? Yes, but it still bothers me. It still weighs upon my heart. I don't think that I'm good enough. I don't believe that I'm good enough to do anything good for God. Hogwash. How come you have the right to place in your own mind and heart a greater standard than God? If God says, I tell you what, I've forgiven you and I've forgotten it, do you think you're better than God? Do you have a higher standard than He? That you're going to hold on to something? No. We have to believe in what God has done, what God has said. I got a good thing for you here. I read this, I got all excited. You got to forgive people. You got to forget. Chuck Colson tells a story of taking a group in the Indiana penitentiary down on death row. A group of Christians to minister. And these inmates on death row, when the time was up, he gathered the folks and went out and realized that one of his group was missing. So he took one of the guards back in with him. And in the cell of one of the inmates on death row, he found one of his team members and he started to scold him. He said, brother, he said, you have jeopardized our relationship here with the warden and our opportunity to come in and to minister. And this is what the man said. He said, I'm sorry, brother, but you don't understand. This man here, his name is James Brewer. He is condemned to die. I'm Judge Clement. I am the man who sentenced him to die. He said, since that time, we've both become Christians. And we just need a little time to confess and to forgive one another. Amen. Amen. I love it. When I think about it within my mind, the emotions that would go through our hearts. Back over in Wales in the 19th century, a great church historian wrote about an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And they're on the ship docks over there, over the years, the workers had stolen many things. They'd taken wheelbarrows, hammers, shovels, everything. Every little tool you can think of. And because there was a great revival, there was a great, great Welsh revival that took place. Hearts were being changed. And as they preached upon Matthew about before you go to the altar, get things right with your brother, your sister, they felt under conviction and started to bring back all these tools. And it caused the owners there a bit of a headache because they didn't have that much land. And all of a sudden they had all these tools being brought back and things being piled up everywhere to the place where they could hardly do their work. So this is the sign that was put up. And this is the way it read. If you have been led by God to return what you have stolen, Please know that the management forgives you and wishes you to keep what you have taken. True story. Forgiveness, forgiveness within our heart. The challenges that we have are to love like God, to forgive people like God, and to start to work like God. We are called the salt. Might have read that in that old Bible? Salt. And I did a little funny thing. I started looking them up and I started hearing the thing, and I read that there are over 14,000 industrial uses for salt. 14,000. So don't come to me and tell me you don't know where to serve. Don't come tell me there's no job for you to do. God will find something for you to do for Him. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into Your house. We have shared Your word. We have had our hearts touched by Your Holy Spirit. God, we just want to be right with You. We just want to have open hearts, tender hearts, compassionate hearts. We want to be led by love, forgiveness, warmth. And God, we thank You for that. Now, Heavenly Father, as we leave this building, allow us to take the warmth that You've given us. Allow us to let the truth just resonate deep within our hearts. Let us occasionally just step back and take a look in the mirror and look within our own hearts, our own lives, and ask ourselves, are we doing everything we can to fulfill that aim of pleasing You? God, You still love us. You still care for us. Why? Because You sent Your Son to die for us. We know that. Heavenly Father, allow us to be everything that we can be for You. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen.